Welcome back to the Strong and Lean at Any Age podcast. I am Susan Niebergall, and it has been a hot minute, hasn't it? Boy, it's been a while, and I've gotten behind on doing podcasts, and I apologize. Thank you all so much for reaching out and asking me when's another episode coming out, and how much you look forward to them and all that. I really, really, really appreciate it. Yeah, it is just, you know, it's one of those stories, nothing earth-shattering, just a lot of life stuff happening, a lot of other things that have had to shift to the forefront and on the priority list, things like that, getting sick, things like that. But hopefully we'll be back to more of a regular type of schedule for putting out some podcasts. I've got a couple fun guests coming up, which I'm super excited to chat with. And of course, I do a podcast with Jordan every month. I've got one ready to publish, actually, and I'll be publishing that one fairly soon as well. So hopefully I will be back in the saddle and be a little bit better at getting these out to you. So today we are going to talk about skinny fat, because this topic has appeared in every single one of my Q&As on Instagram, and I get DM'd about this all the time. And I think it's something that we ought to talk about. And it's interesting because this term skinny fat, I don't know who came up with this term, right? I don't know. And the terminology may not actually refer to you, but I like the term skinny fat, and we're going to talk about what it is actually. What does skinny fat actually mean? And see if you actually fall into this category, because I think a lot of people do, but they don't consider themselves skinny fat. But so let's talk about that. So what is skinny fat? Skinny fat is basically somebody who's pretty lean already. And when you hear that, sometimes you go, well, that's not me. I'm not lean. Like, you don't even think of the word lean related to you. I was that person for so many years. I would never put the word skinny or the word lean around my name in any way, shape, or form. But hear me out. So you're pretty lean already, which means you don't have a whole lot more weight to lose, right? You're kind of happy with the scale and what the scale's telling you, and God knows we're hardly ever happy with that, right? So that's great. So you're actually okay with the scale. You don't really want to lose that much more weight, because you know, I think in the back of your head, if you start losing more weight, how in the hell are you going to ever maintain that? That becomes the struggle. But you still have a bit of weight, a bit of fat, I should say, that you want to lose. And it always, for us women, it always seems to be around our middle, right? And we could call it the whole menopause fat, right? That little bit around the belly. And it's not a huge amount, but it's enough to bother us. Like, we would love to be able to get rid of that fat. Like, if we had a magic wand, we would want to keep everything else intact and lose just that last little bit of fat. Just like that, poof. But as you all know, our bodies don't work quite that way. So skinny fat is that person who has, you know, okay with the weight number, but you want to lose that last little bit of fat. And you don't necessarily look the way you want after having lost the weight that you've already lost. And this is something really important to point out. And this is why strength training is so important as you're losing weight, because so many people will just eat less, and sometimes far less than they should, to lose weight. And when they finally lose the weight, meaning the scale is where they wanted it to be, they don't like how they look. Like, they look soft. They look like a smaller, softer version of what they were. And that's what will happen when you just reduce calories and you maybe just do cardio, for instance. You don't put any strength training into your workout routine at all. That's what's gonna happen, you guys, is that you will be a smaller and much softer version of yourself. That's why you hear us always talking about how you should strength train while you are trying to lose fat. It's that important. Not to mention how important it is just in general from an aging perspective, but it's so important as you're trying to lose weight, so that when you do get to your goal weight, you do have some definition. You have a little bit of of tone, if you want to use that word. You look lean. You look like you've lifted weights. You have the definition that you've been looking for. But oftentimes, when you don't incorporate strength training, you're going to get down to that goal weight and you're going to look soft, just a smaller version of yourself. And skinny fat can be that way. Like you have lost the weight, you still have some fat though that you want to lose. You're not really comfortable with how you look. You're looking a little soft, you want to tighten things up a little bit, but you don't want to lower your calories anymore. And the fact that, if you're thinking that, the fact that you're aware of that is great. You are aware that if you start lowering your calories, that this is going to be tough for you to sustain. Not to mention, what happens if you keep lowering the calories? It's first of all, you're going to have to be super meticulous, right? If you really want to lower calories even more, you're going to have to be super meticulous. You will have almost zero wiggle room, zero. And what that means, it means you probably won't be able to go out with friends and family like you want to, or like you were able to before. You're going to have to say no to those things because you will not have that kind of wiggle room when you're talking about lowering your calories that much. Your life will be very different. And for a lot of people, it's not worth it. You know, and so it's a question that you need to ask yourself. Do I want to lower my calories even more than what I already have done just to lose this little bit of fat? And then on top of that, having no guarantees that our body's going to cooperate and lose the fat where we want it to go from. I mean, we all know that, right? Our bodies lose fat where it wants to, not necessarily where we want it to. So you could conceivably go through the whole thing of lowering your calories even more to lose this last little bit of fat and finally lose however many more pounds of weight that will equate with that. And you know what? You still have some fat around your belly or wherever it is. So there's a lot to think about with this. The biggest problem here is this. You've probably been in a deficit for a while. And not only are you physically tired of being in a deficit, but my God, you are mentally tired of being in a deficit. It's been a struggle. You've been on the roller coaster, the deficit roller coaster, meaning, you know, you've seen the ups, you've seen the downs. It's all over the place. It's frustrating. It makes you question everything. But you hung in there, you know, and it was exhausting. And so you're a little tired of that. You've continuously been lowering your calories over this deficit, right? And some of those times you lowered them, maybe you didn't really need to, but nonetheless, you did. And so you're like lowering them yet again. And so then it becomes, if I lower my calories yet again, can I sustain this? And it goes back to what I just said. You know, you're gonna have to be meticulous. You don't have any wiggle room. Your life's going to be a little different while you do this. And then what's plan B? What's the exit plan from that? And that's something that's hard to predict. And that is something that people mostly don't think about. So when you get to this point with it's kind of like you're at a crossroad, right? You have this last little bit of fat. So, should I keep lowering calories to get that last bit off and hope that my body cooperates and actually loses it where I want it to lose? Or do I say, you know what? No, I don't want to do this anymore. Now what? And there's no right or wrong answer here. I think everyone's going to be very different with this. So ask yourself this. Is it going to be worth it for me to do that? Is it going to be worth it for me to lower my calories even more and go through this period of being super meticulous, not being able to go out as much as I want with my friends and family, having my life kind of restricted to a point just to lose this last bit of fat? Is it going to be worth it? The answer may be yes for you. Cool if it is. The answer may be no. You know? And so then it becomes, okay, so what if the answer is no? What is my option? And this is what I personally think is probably a better answer for people who would consider themselves skinny fat. And that is, the answer doesn't always have to be about losing. The answer is about building. And you're like, whoa, 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 wait a minute. What do you mean building? I've still got fat on me I want to get rid of. And I hear you. I hear you loud and clear. But we need to change our mindset around this whole thing. The answer here is that you probably need to build more muscle, because if you had more muscle on your frame right now, you probably wouldn't be seeing the fat like you're seeing it right now, because you lowered your calories and you went into this deficit without maybe doing as much strength training as you could have or wanted to or whatever. Maybe you didn't do any, I don't know. Or maybe you did do some strength training. Maybe you didn't push yourself as much as you could to build what you could while you're trying to lose weight. There's a whole bunch of different scenarios, neither here nor there. But the answer is building muscle. Get some muscle on your frame so you now look different. Because most people will tell me they don't care what the scale says if they were to look lean and defined and kind of, maybe if you want to say, look like I lift, you know, have that look about them. Most people say they wouldn't care what the scale said if they had that type of look. And I believe that that's true. I really think most people feel that way, that you won't care what the scale says if you have a desired look with some lean, defined muscle on your body. But the only way that's going to happen is if you build. Right? So this is the other side of this. This is where you can think, if I'm skinny fat, I'm not going to try to lose anymore. Now I need to try to build. And I know people go into a panic because they're like, oh my God, I don't want to gain more weight. I had lost all this weight. I don't want to gain weight trying to build muscle and doing all this stuff. No. We're not talking about giving up your nutrition entirely and now turning it into a feeding frenzy. I think our panic mode with switching things up puts us into this extreme catastrophic scenario we've created in our head, which doesn't exist, right? But we're creating it because we're scared, out of fear, which I totally understand. Because for years and years and years and years and years, we've been trying to get the scale to go down. And now we're talking about building muscle. And oh my God, that means I've got to eat all this food. I'm going to get fat. No, it doesn't mean that you have to eat all this food. It doesn't mean that you're going to get fat. It means that you're going to change your nutrition slightly and now put your focus on training. We're going to kind of reverse the roles. If you've been around here long enough, you know you've heard me talk about the weight loss car. And the driver of the weight loss car is nutrition. And it always, always will be. The passenger of the weight loss car who rides shotgun with nutrition is training. And you know, when we're trying to lose weight, we want training to be the driver, for heaven's sakes, right? We all want training to be the driver of that car. My God, please. How much easier would it be for all of us if we just change up our training a little bit and then we could lose weight easier, right? My gosh, how great would that be? It's so much easier to add a class, to pick up this, to do this, change our workouts, so much more easier to do that than to actually have to look at our nutrition and adjust there, right? So all this time, nutrition's been the driver. But now what we're talking about is bringing up your calories slightly into maintenance. We're not talking about a feeding frenzy. Nah, we are talking about getting your calories up into maintenance and getting stabilized there. And maintenance, by the way, in the inner circle, we don't call it maintenance, we call it momentum, because we feel like the word maintenance implies stagnation, like you're doing nothing, you're not going anywhere. And I don't think that's what maintenance is at all. We like to call it momentum, because this period of time where you stabilize yourself within this momentum area or maintenance area is getting you ready for whatever you want to do next. And I think that's the way to look at it. When you slowly add calories back in, and people like to use this fancy term called reverse dieting. That's like this buzzword, isn't it? And it means nothing more than adding calories back in slowly over time until you kind of plateau. The scale's going to go up a little bit here and there. It's going to be a different amount for each person. But understand that unless you're eating thousands and thousands and thousands of extra calories a day, the weight that's coming on is nothing more than extra content in your stomach and the weight of glycogen and water that your body's holding on to now because you're bringing more food back in. It's not fat. And that's something we have to understand. Now, if you go from being in a really steep deficit and then you just go on this feeding frenzy and not care and not track and do all of those things, well, then you're going to overeat. You're probably going to binge a little bit here and there potentially. And yeah, we could have a different scenario. But what I'm talking about is adding calories back in slowly. And you can think of it over a course of a week. Like, instead of saying, okay, I'm going to add 100 calories per day, how about saying by the end of the week, I'm going to be in the plus column for 400 calories. Cool. Well, if you divide 400 by 7, that would be some minuscule amount of calories extra per day. That's crazy weird to try to track that. No point in doing it that way. What I recommend you would do is take 2 days and add 200 extra calories on those 2 days. So then by the end of the week, you are in a plus column 400. And you're probably going to have to add another 400 the next week. So then you're in the plus column 800 by the end of the week. And what you're going to start to find there is that your weight is going to start to go up a little bit. But for the reasons we said, remember, scale weight is not just fat. We have to keep telling ourselves this. The scale weighs all of us. It weighs our bones, our organs, our all the tissue. It weighs muscle. It weighs fat. It weighs liquid. It weighs everything, not just fat. So when we add calories back in slowly, we're not in a surplus. We're heading back to a more reasonable number where our body weight can kind of hover in, I like to call it a bubble, a weight bubble of anywhere from 1 to maybe 4 or 5 pounds for some people. For me, I've been in maintenance for years now, and my weight hovers between 1 and 3 pounds. Sometimes I'm at the upper end of this little bubble, and sometimes I'm at the lower end of the bubble. And every now and again, I'll spike out of the bubble, but that's usually just for a day or something. Like, I spiked out of the low end of the bubble when I was sick, but I've come back into the low end of the bubble. Sometimes if I go out and I have some saltier food at dinner or something, I'll spike out of the top end of this bubble. But again, it's not that I've gained fat overnight. It's just that I'm holding on to more water, probably because of the food I ate. And you know, if you go out to a restaurant, the food you eat at a restaurant is saltier than, way saltier than what we normally eat at home, right? So yeah, I am going to retain water. And so you want to find that little maintenance bubble, that momentum bubble of however many pounds that is for you. Now, adding calories back in slowly takes time. It's not a 1 week and I'm there. It's several weeks of tracking your weight, watching what the scale does, finding when you settle. You will see your weight stabilize over weeks in that 1 to 3 to 5 pound bubble. When you have found that, you have successfully found maintenance. And that is such a powerful place and a powerful thing to know. Because once you get used to eating like that in maintenance and you are able to stay in your little maintenance bubble or momentum bubble, you can, at that point, you're in such powerful control because you can eat a little less and be in a deficit. You could eat a little more and be in a surplus. You know how to maintain your weight. And this is a skill that most people don't have. Most people can lose the weight, but they have no idea how to maintain it. And the biggest problem I see is when people lose the weight, then they just stop tracking. They stop thinking about what they're eating anymore, and they just go back to what they were doing before they lost the weight. And guess what happens? You regain the weight, if not more so than where you were before. So learning your little momentum bubble here is a great thing to do. It's a great skill to have. And it will make everything else so much easier. So we work our way into our maintenance or momentum bubble, and that's where you live. And now we switch cars. We're out of the weight loss car, and now we're into the muscle building car. And the thing is, when we switch cars, we have switched drivers as well. Nutrition is not driving this muscle building car, not at all. Training is now in the driver's seat, because without training, the proper training, you're not going to build anything at all. So training's job is now to get you from point A to point B. Nutrition is now riding shotgun, because you have found your maintenance. You are able to stay there. It's stable. You understand what your maintenance bubble is. And there you are. We can't ignore the passenger, though. You can't just say it's a free-for-all anymore. We have to keep our hands in the nutrition pot, but it's certainly not nutrition's responsibility now. It now becomes training. And the way we can say for sure that it's training is that without training, you're not going to build anything. That's the way to know who's going to be driving that car. So now we're in the muscle building car. We've got our nutrition at maintenance, and we've got training driving. So now we have to focus on our workouts. If you've not really focused on your workouts before, this is when you need to do it. It's no longer, I go in and just check a box, I worked out today. You need to have more intention behind your workouts if you want to build muscle. And here's the thing. You can build muscle in maintenance, absolutely. You can also build muscle in a surplus. The difference is, being in a slight surplus is probably going to be a little more optimal from a muscle building perspective, meaning you may see things develop a little bit faster or quicker than in maintenance, and which is fine, but you can still build in maintenance. And for so many people, the thought of getting into a surplus is like, I can't even think about it. But maintenance sounds a little bit more reasonable. So my recommendation is get to maintenance, find that, slowly add your calories back in, find your little maintenance momentum bubble, and then focus shifts to your workouts. Now, doing random workouts from YouTube, from the internet, that's not going to get you the muscle that you think you're going to get. Not at all. What you're going to need is an organized strength training program. That program could be from a coach. That program could be from a group, like what Jordan and I do in the Inner Circle. As long as you have a structured program that you are working on for a minimum of 4 to 6 to 8 weeks tops, something like that, per phase, training phase, and when you have this structured programming, you are giving 110% to it. Then you're going to start seeing some change. Because what happens when you start doing these random workouts, how do you even know if you're making progress if you're constantly changing the workouts that you do? You need to stick with a program. 4 weeks is a good amount of time, and really give yourself some goals within those 4 weeks. This is what I like to do with every training phase that Jordan has given me. I look at it and I say, you know what, by the end of it, I want to be able to lift this much for this exercise. I want to be able to lift this much for that exercise. I give myself these little mini goals for every single exercise that I have. Now, I'm going to come out here and say it. I don't always reach those goals. There have been many training phases where I don't reach those goals. But as I've been lifting for so long and I've gotten more experience and I understand my own body, I'm pretty good at giving myself some reasonable goals for me to obtain by the end of a training phase. Now, life can throw you some curveballs. Like, I've been sick this last training phase. Haven't met my goals. Not at all. It's because I had to back off, obviously, for 2 weeks. I didn't lift at all. And I'm working my way back. I'm kind of in a rebuild right now from that. So things can happen. So it's not that you have to reach every single little goal that you set for yourself every training phase. That's not the point. The point of these little goals is to keep your training focused and driven, and you track your workouts just like you track your nutrition. It's that important. So if you're not tracking your workouts either on an app or even on paper, You need to start doing that so you can record how much weight you used on these exercises, what it felt like, all those kinds of things, so you can start judging whether you're reaching your goals, you're getting close to your goals, and you have something to constantly keep your workout program fresh and give, it gives you purpose, to be honest with you. I feel like that, in addition to giving yourself performance-based goals overall, are great ways to keep your training really focused and driven. For example, and you've probably heard me talk about this, I have some overall training goals, not necessarily specific to this training phase I'm in right now, but I wanna do weighted chin-ups with 45-pound plate strapped to me. Now, I've done this before. It's been probably close to a year, but I haven't been able to do it in a while. And so I've been working my way back to that. And it's a slow road because I don't want to overuse elbows, shoulders, all that kind of stuff. So I'm taking my time, but that's a goal. I've written that down. I want to do 45-pound weighted chin-ups for reps. I also want to do a 100-pound dumbbell row. And I'm knocking on that door right now, but that is something whenever I am doing my training phases and I have a dumbbell row in there, I am constantly focused on that. I want to get to that 100 pound. I want to get to it. And even not too long ago, I actually practiced picking it up just to see if I could hold it. You know, to me, that was stepping my toes in the water. I can't row it yet, but I wanted to be able to hold it. So, you know, I'm trying little things like that. But anyway, it is giving yourself performance goals. It's going to help your overall training just anyway. But really one of the most important things with your workouts when you're trying to build is that you need to bring intensity to that workout. And when we hear the word intensity, we think HIIT class, we think jumping up and down, we think cardio, you know, that kind of intensity. And that's not what I'm talking about here. What I'm talking about is the intensity of, are you moving enough weight? Like, are you blowing through a set and it seemed like, okay, cool, it was kind of easy. Well, then you certainly did not use enough weight. You need to go up in weight the next set. And that's a great rule of thumb. And as you get more experienced with lifting, you will know your body well enough to know when you can increase weight and when you cannot. And that comes just with experience. But the last two or three reps, if they're not so challenging that you think you're gonna, you know, drop the weight or something, but you don't, but it's that hard, that's a good weight for you to work with. And listen to this too, because I think this is a big mistake people make. If you have three sets of 10 of whatever exercise, and you are waiting until you can do three sets of 10 perfectly with a certain weight before you try another weight, I think you're doing yourself a major disservice. And I'll give you this example. Let's say you're doing a dumbbell row with 20 pounds and you have three sets of 10 and you feel like, I can't get three sets of 10 perfectly yet. So you don't even try a 25-pound dumbbell. You don't even try it because you can't get the three sets of 10 yet. What I would do is I would try it and I would see how many reps out of 10 can I get with that 25-pound dumbbell. Oh, I probably can't get 10. Okay, so what? Let's say I got 5. Cool, well now I know where I stand. I'm closer than I thought because I can do 5. I didn't think I could do any. And then I'm gonna see, okay, can I do 5 every set? And then for me, I like to finish out the reps to 10, so I'll grab a lighter weight and finish out the last 5 reps with a lighter weight. So I did 5 reps with a heavier weight, 5 reps with the lighter weight. My goal is to get more reps with that heavier weight, less reps with the lighter weight. You see how that can drive? Instead of sitting there and doing the same thing week after week after week, test it, push the envelope, push yourself out of your comfort zone, because I guarantee you, you're gonna be stronger than you think in scenarios like that. So always push yourself. This is what intensity is in strength training, is pushing the limits with weight. That is intensity. You need to get yourself out of your comfort zone. Strength training is not supposed to tickle or be easy. It's supposed to be challenging and often uncomfortable, right? And often we don't want to be uncomfortable, but you're going to have to be uncomfortable a little bit to progress in strength training. And again, you combine that with giving yourself little mini goals within your programming and then overall performance goals, kind of bigger picture, kind of performance goals, like for me, it's the chin-ups and the row, and I have a few others, that helps keep your training going. And that's the driver. That is the driver of the muscle building car. Those kinds of things are helping the driver along. Your nutrition can't be ignored, obviously, but remember, we got ourselves to that maintenance bubble, and that is where you want to stay while you're now focused on your training. And here's the thing. What you're going to find is if you stick with this for a long period of time, and let's say, I'm saying 6 months, minimum 6 months. I did 6 months in a surplus. I'd say 6 months bare minimum here at maintenance. You do 6 months here and let's see how your shape changes. Don't pay any attention really to the scale other than you just want to hover in this bubble. Don't expect to lose weight. Don't expect to gain weight. Expect to stay in your little maintenance bubble. And if you find either of the two are happening, then you're not being as honest or on top of your nutrition as you probably need to be, right? Especially if you're starting to lose weight. That means you're letting your emotions get carried away. I don't want the scale to go up, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to eat these calories. You have to stop that bull crap right now because you need to stay in maintenance. And I know it's going to be hard. It will be even harder in a surplus. I get that. I went through that and bullshitted my way through month number one of six. But I'll tell you what, if you can maintain momentum or maintenance, really bring the focus and the intensity to your training, you will see amazing results. And here's the last thing I'll say. It's super important during times like this that you take measurements every 2 weeks and that you take photographs every 4 weeks. And when you take your photos, take a front, a side, and a back view. Try to wear the exact same thing. Try to photograph in the exact same place every 4 weeks, because when you look at yourself day in and day out, like in the mirror or whatever, you don't see the changes like you will when you put day one photo up against maybe day one of month three or four photo. When you can put those two side by side, holy shit, wait till you see that. So photos are critical for this kind of process. So make sure you're doing that. So that's my take on skinny fat. Skinny fat to me means it's not always about losing. It can be for you potentially, but for most people, it's about building and changing how you look. And that last little bit of fat that you were so worried about before will be an afterthought. You probably won't even see it anymore. And some of it may be gone, but some of it may just be within you in your muscle. You're so busy looking at your muscle that you've built and how you look so different now that you won't care. So give this a try. If you're somebody who falls into this category of skinny fat, I encourage you to try a period of building based on what I was talking about here today. So that's it on skin. That's the skinny on skinny fat. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to me anytime. And if you would love to join us in the inner circle, Jordan and I would love to have you. I will put how you can join in the show notes. And thank you for being here. And again, thank you for your patience with getting these podcasts out. I'm going to hopefully be much better about this and much more on top of it. And if you ever have anything that you think you would like for me to do a podcast about, please, please, please just let me know. Take care and have a great day.